Tonight, I'm going to show a clip, and I know that this is a time that God wanted me to see this. It's about a young man who was sold out to Satan from the age of 12, I think it was. And he tells about what the powers and authority that he had. And doesn't he tell in this clip about why they can attack Christians? How long is this? It's 37 minutes, so I want you, first of all, to watch this clip, then I'll be back. But I know why God's shown this clip, because he's getting this church straightened up. And I know that this is your last call. This is your last call to get it together. And he's showing you, through this man, what you can do. And then today when I was watching Sid Roth, this gentleman was talking. He was ministering somewhere overseas. And this young man who signed a contract with Satan when he was younger, and Satan took him over and used him, but then Satan started to torment him too. And the young man was crying out to God, please deliver me from this mess I got myself into. But the more he cried out to God, the more the devil tormented him. And he would have slashes on his back, blood coming through his clothes and everything else, where these demons were coming against him. If you watch Sid Roth, you'll see it again. And when he went to this guy's meeting that was on Sid Roth's program, he didn't really go to the meeting. He was going by the meeting, and he froze in his tracks. And it showed four men coming out, and they could not move him. He was frozen out solid in his tracks. And after a fashion, he did get loose, but he came inside. They threw him on the altar and delivered him of the demons, and now he's free. You know, so many kids today are selling their souls out to the devil through the things they watch on TV, through the things they do in school. Many different ways, and then the devil will make you feel real good about it at first. Then after he has you hooked, then he'll start tormenting you. And then you're going to want to get out of it, and you won't be able to. And this young man, I think it's on this clip, he tells what Satan did to him when he wanted to just take a year sabbatical away from Satan and doing what Satan wanted him to do. Satan doesn't love you, he hates you. But so many people serve him anyhow. I don't understand that. God's love is so much greater. So, Brother Chris, go ahead and or whoever's going to turn this video on, go ahead and turn it on, and please watch it. And please listen. And he's really hard to understand, so you're going to have to listen very carefully. Don't be distracted.
Mary and told me God, because they're the idol. I just supposed to be Michael, the guardian angel. What is it? It's not even Michael. You know that. I know. Santeria. All the witchcraft. And this is the stuff I had, the padero. This is the padero. And this is remember the tabernacle? Right?
Now, what's going on here, like I said, it's very, very hard to understand. It's very poor quality. But he's down in the center of, he's in this town, and this is a place where Satan runs the whole town. And what he's doing is showing all the satanic things that Satan uses. And this is a satanic store that they go into and buy their stuff. But later on, he'll tell you that was Satan's territory, and he owned that town. But it is poor quality, so just listen closely to it. Go ahead.
People met Jesus, they had to meet Jesus. This is the tabernacle of the devil. This is the tabernacle of the devil.
I grew up in a neighborhood that, first of all, the first killing that I experienced feet away from me when I went to get a gallon of milk was only 10 feet away from me. They shot the guy like seven times. They shot him seven times as a young boy. I seen killings after killings after killings. In order to survive in the streets of the South Bronx, you had to be a killer. You have to be a murderer. You had to be smart. You had to be slick. My father sighed. it was all witches and warlocks. We lived on witchcraft. We had a contract direct with the devil himself. My father, I remember when I was younger, like 8, 9 years old, I would see him going to the room to worship the devil, and I could feel the presence of the devil come into that room. And my father would worship and speak in tongues and demonic tongues and worship and put flowers and put candles and put water. At 7 o'clock at night to 5 in the morning, I was ready going to demonic church. I was going to witchcraft church. I was being trained to be a warlock. I was being trained with witches that were in the religion for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. They were training me to learn how to speak to principality, spirits in the ground, the devil himself. You couldn't speak to the devil right away. You had to earn your right to speak to the devil.
And the first mass killing that they did in my neighborhood was in this house right here. The husband stabbed the lady 52 times and cut her ears off here. And then me and my brothers were hanging out with their daughter, and we came to the house to walk them back home because we're hanging out with the daughters right here. And the daughters found their mother cut up to pieces here in this house.
I was in a schoolyard playing with some friends in the schoolyard, and the pastor came, and they had this band came in, and they started singing songs, and people started to gather in the schoolyard, and it was an amazing atmosphere, you know, amazing joy in that schoolyard. And I came from a broken home. This pastor is up on stage, and he's talking about some Bible story and some Bible book, and he's talking about how God loves everybody and all this other stuff, and for the first time I'm getting kind of captivated. Wow, you know, maybe God does love me. Maybe God wants me. Maybe God wants my family. Maybe God wants to touch me and my family. Maybe he wants to change my family around. And I said, well, I can get some of that. I'm going to get some of that because he's coming my way. And this is the first time ever I felt an incredible love that was, it was undescribable. This pastor's coming off the stage and praying for people and touching people. So I said, now it's my turn. Now he's going to touch me. Now Jesus is going to accept me. Jesus is going to show me what love is about. And this pastor passed me by. Never touched me. Never laid his hands on me. He went down the line, and when he came up to me, he passed me by and touched the other person. And I said, well, Jesus don't love me either. My dad don't love me. Jesus don't love me. We come from a broken home. Jesus, he likes the fact my mother gets beat up. He likes the fact that me and my brothers go to bed hungry. He likes the fact that, you know, there's no heat in my apartment. He likes the fact that when we go to school, we reject misfits in school. So this Jesus guy, he's just like my father. He's no difference. He's just like my dad. So I went home broken. I went home sad. I remember that a week later, two weeks later, I was at a schoolyard hanging out, playing with a friend of mine. And I heard something fell and hit the ground. And it was a voodoo necklace. So I took the voodoo necklace. It had many colors. I took it. I put it on. And the necklace was my first contract with the devil. We went to a tarot card reading. And when I went to the tarot card reading, as a little boy, as 10 years old, we went in. The lady that was doing the tarot card, the witch lady that was doing the tarot card reading, she got fascinated. Her eyes were fixed on me. And she said, this boy, we want him. We want him. We want him. The research, which is Santeria, I want him. Spiritualism, which is spiritualism, is espiritismo in Spanish. Santeria, they call it worship of the saint, but it's not worship of the saints, worship of demons. We want him. And if you don't give it to us, he's going to lose his eyesight in 30 days. So my mother was so desperate as a mother. My mother saw her furniture. My mother saw her bed. She saw her bedroom set to get $250 to do my first ceremony because this lady put so much fear in us, so much fear in my mother, that my mother had to sleep in the floor because there was no bedroom for her to sleep in because she didn't want me to lose my eyesight. So they initiated me to the dark side at the age of 10 years old. So the first love, the first encounter I had as a 10-year-old boy with the devil showed up and took the offering of giving my life to him, and they put 5 beads around my neck, the 5 worst demons of principalities that are under Satan. They put them right under my neck, which is Santeria. They put them right under my neck, and they said, these are going to be your spiritual guys, and this is going to be your guardian angels, and they're going to take care of your life from now on.
This is the building. This corner building here used to be almost abandoned. The corner building here, it's in the book. And I used to go up and down. Me and my brother used to go get the water and the pump. We got the pump right there. All the apartment was all empty, the apartments. All the apartment was abandoned over here. Only me and my family, 2 other families lived here.
and my whole childhood was stolen. My whole childhood was worshiping the devil, going to demon church. I would go to demon church from 7 in the evening to 5 in the morning, being trained by witches and warlocks, colors, principle, rights, who owns this region, who's in this region, who's running this principality, what principality name is this. I had how to channel powers. At the age of 13 years old, I was astral projecting my body. I would leave my body home and go to regions and go into the spirit realm and curse dark side, curse neighborhoods, curse, put spirit of prostitution, spirit of drugs into the neighborhood, homosexual spirits here, demonic spirit here, spirit of murder, spirit of suicide. I know how to channel all those spirits into the neighborhood. At the age of 15, 16 years old, I was going into hospitals and putting death in ICU, death in one room so this person can die because I wanted to be promoted with the devil to move up that ranks to be the biggest devil worshiper in New York City. The devil became my daddy. He replaced my dad because I prayed and I said, you kill my dad. At the age of 33 years old, my dad got shot in a nightclub in the face by a woman that wasn't even his when he had to go up and home. And the devil took him out. The devil said, I replaced the old to keep the new. And the devil became my daddy.
There was a club here, and my father died there at 33 years old. And we lived over there. And then, remember, when I was 11 years old, there was a store right here in the corner. And the guy got shot right there in the street right there. Right next to the little corner here. The guy got killed there when I went to get the gallon of milk.
And I moved up the ranks from devil worshipping. I moved up the ranks. I moved up with principalities and demons to the point that I was able to sit with the devil like I'm sitting with you today. And the devil manifests himself in human form. He or the presence will come into the room. And I would speak to the devil all night long. And he would give me assignments. I would go to 5 clubs or 5 lounges a night to look for people to recruit to the dark side. I would tell people their fortune. I would tell people their lives. I would tell people things that they did, things that was going to happen to them. That then they had no clue who I was. They didn't know who I was. I just had the demonic powers. I had a taste for blood. I would kill animals and drink the blood every week. If I didn't have time to buy an animal, I would cut myself and drink my own blood. The ring of the people that I was with that was in this demonic world, doctors, lawyers, principals, judges, police officers, they were all into witchcraft. There was all, even singers today that are very well known. I would move principalities on that region to control demons on the ground to operate the church, to cut down the church, to cut down the growth of the church, to cut down the opportunity for people to get saved. I would be drunk. I'd come out of a club and I would have demon possessed drunk. I would stand in the middle of the street and say to God, come down. You want some of this? You want me to slap you in your face? You want me to spit you in your face? You come and mess with me. I got married on Halloween. I had a demonic wedding on Halloween. I got married on Halloween. All the demons and principalities from different regions of around the world came to my wedding. No human beings came to my wedding. They were afraid to come to my wedding. So I sent out invitations. No one showed up. You know, so there were no wedding gifts. But demons came to my wedding and baptized my wedding. So my wife was a witch. I was a witch. And then my daughter was born, and I was training her to be a witch, too. I remember the first time that I was going to sacrifice my first human being. The devil was sitting in the passenger side of my car when I parked. He said, you love me? I said, of course I love you, Daddy. He said, there's a guy on the rooftop. He's going to try to take you and take your money or hurt you. You kill him if you love me. So when I went up there to the rooftop, I lived on the 12th floor. I remember that. And when I went up to the rooftop, I remember the part that he was hiding behind. He was hiding behind the stairway. And this guy was like 6'5". 250 pounds. I was half demon possessed. I felt the demon within me, and it wasn't even me anymore. So I was going to drag him into my apartment and stab him in the neck because I had a cardone pot with weighed about 100 pounds plus, and I had like 9 machetes in it, and I had knives in it that I secured the roosters with. But when I went to grab this guy that I wanted to bring him to my apartment, he just went off my hands and just disappeared. He went down the story. I mean, this guy was like an Olympic athlete. He just disappeared. And I couldn't grab him and kill him, so I was very disappointed that I couldn't kill my first human being.
People go from the city over to the end right here. This is the demon that runs the gate to hell. This is the one I was telling you about that is in my book. It's right here. It's right here. It's a demon. Another one. This is the demon that runs Haiti. And look at this. The truth. Isn't that funny? The truth will set you free. ain't this a show? They put it up there so people can think that they're part of this.
What is this place?
This is a botanica. This is a place that everyone in the Bronx come here to find the ingredients to do witchcraft and hurt people and kill people. This is the place. We can go inside. Come on, let's see what we can find.
If I tell you I was going to kill you in 30 days, you prepare your funeral, you was going to die in 30 days. I don't care who you were, I don't care who you knew, I don't care what you call yourself, if you were Catholic and you say you were Christian and you say you were a believer, I was going to kill you unless you had a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And the lady that lived downstairs, she came up and she told me, my husband is cheating, I want you to kill the woman he's cheating with, put a witchcraft spell on her and kill her. How much you charge me? I said, well, come back, I'm going to speak to the devil, my daddy. And I'll let you know. Come back in a couple of days. So the lady came back. The devil told me what to buy. He said, buy a coffin box, buy 21 black candles, buy an image of the lady, put it in the box, you know, to do the witchcraft to kill this lady. So we were going to do her for 21 days. She was going to die. After 21 days, we were going to do her funeral. So when the lady came to mine, I said, I'm going to charge you $10,000. I told her to kill the lady. She said, sure. She said, I'll tell you what, I know you. You've been good to me. I go to your house parties. Give me $7,000. I'll give you 30% off. I said, I'll kill her. Give me 30%. I take 30% off the 10. Give me 7,000. So when the lady was going to leave my house, she said, by the way, she's a Christian. She said, the lady's a Christian. I said, I'll kill her for free. I said, I don't need the money. I said, I'm going to kill her for free. I'm going to teach these Christians a lesson that they're going to learn. I'll kill her for free. I told her, I don't want your money. I'll kill her for free. So I did the voodoo thing. I did the witchcraft thing. And 21 days went by. The lady didn't die. A month went by. The lady didn't die. And I was like, wow, you know, what's going on? I mean, my reputation's online. So I called the devil, I called the demons, I was signed. I increased the witchcraft. I increased the witchcraft. I doubled the witchcraft on it so she can die, like, overnight. Nothing was going on. I was home at night, and the devil shows up. And I feel the presence of the devil comes into my mouth. And then the devil told me, we have to abort the plan of the lady that you want to kill. And I said, why we're going to abort the plan? My reputation's online. I'm a witch. I'm a warlock. If I don't kill the lady, they're going to think that I don't have any powers. The devil said, you don't understand. The God that she serves said, don't leave her alone. Don't touch her. And I said, who's this God? She said, the God that she serves. So I was so angry. I was so, I said, no, but let's get one more week. Let's kill her. And he said, no, the God that she serves said, leave her alone. From the witchcraft that I did to the lady, she should have been dead in less than 21 days.
How you doing,
man? It's going to crack when I see it.
This is Jezebel. This is by what? See, these statues here, this don't mean nothing. But if the demon be hurt. So in order for me to identify to this, this has to be created because I can't identify to a spirit. I can't identify to because the spirit, we don't have nothing in common. I'm humanity. A spirit is mortality. A spirit is a spirit of demon. I can't relate to it. So in order for me to relate to it, you have to put this guy in the middle so I can relate to it because he's human form. He must have a human being. There's a story behind this guy, so now I can relate to it. So the demon operates to her. Understand? Same thing with these guys. And then they give themselves names and days and birthdays. Because they said American Indians get caught up with demonic forces and they get caught up into the occult. This is these are the attractive of the Native American Indians. But there's a statue that the people they use to camouflage the demonic ways and demonic religion. There's nothing here that is holy. There's nothing here. The only thing that's holy here is us standing here.
What happens in this place? Like
this place
what?
Here in the back, they do witchcraft, they do voodoo, they do witch spells in the back, they do cleansing in the back. Over here, they have all these demons, they want you to buy these statues so you can take a demon home. It's like the prayers. So they make you believe that you're praying to God. Look, see, I used to use this book for selective prayers. They make you think that you're praying to God, but these prayers are not God. They're not godly prayers. There's nothing in the Bible. They say nothing about the Bible. The crucifixion.
We had a book in New York, in America. I was the third person to get this book that has symbols of the book, of different demons, of different principalities, of different ways of telling people to witchcraft. And then this book was so, no one had a copy of this book. You couldn't have a copy of this book unless the devil signed off on it. And I was the third person that received that book. And I would take symbols from that book and do witchcraft to people and put people in and make people lose their mind. I put witchcraft on people and make people get diseases out of nowhere. I put witchcraft on people and make people get leprosy. I put witchcraft on people and make people get cancer. I mean, I did witchcraft to people. I gave people miscarriages. I gave people abortions. I put people in hospital for surgeries that didn't even have to go surgeries. I did witchcraft so people can lose their minds. I put spirits of bipolar, schizophrenia. I put spirits of disease on people. I put suicide spirits on people. I'd be up all night long praying and talking to the devil. When Christians can't even go to church for one hour. When Christians can't even pray for 1 hour. The spirit realm is more real than the natural realm. And we fail to see that. And whatever is not covered with Jesus Christ is an easy target to bring down. Like the atheists, I can kill them easily. They were easy to kill. The Jehovah's Witnesses were easy to destroy. It was easy to destroy. The people that would walk around and say, we don't believe in the devil, they were easy to destroy because they will not seek any spiritual help. I remember a time that Nikki Cruz group came into my neighborhood, and it's called Truce. They would come and do drive-bys in my neighborhood. They would do like worship, and then they would preach a word and go to another corner and do the same thing. And I came after this group to try to bring them down, this group. And they were young kids. They were like 18, 17, 16, 20. I mean, so I said, how dare they play this junk, this filthy music in my neighborhood, with today we call worship. This filthy music in my neighborhood. I'm going to go after them. I'm going to destroy these kids. So when I went up to where they were at, there was a wall of fire around them. I couldn't penetrate and touch them. And it was something pushing me back. Every time I tried to throw demonic forces again, there was something that would just push me back. And I was able to touch these kids. And I said, there was something here. It's not right. Something is not falling into place. So I walked away and I left them alone. I didn't want to deal with them. I said, okay, you know, they won this first round.
So there's obviously spirits here watching us.
Yeah,
Of
course they're watching us.
Yeah, and so we're all protected.
We're under the blood, brother. They're not like the blood of Jesus.
Okay.
Amen?
Yeah,
we're all protected, but they're not, they can touch us. Because Joel said, what we got a hedge of protection. Around us.
Right.
And we can walk into this place and we can chase demons out of here. We can curse this place to the ground in Jesus' name, and there's nothing that the devil can do. I mean, I had so much money. Beautiful cars, beautiful woman. I had it all. I lived in the world that people, my neighborhood, they were terrified who I was. They said, if you mess with that guy, your family will die. If you mess with that guy, he don't need a gun. He'll kill your family in his sleep. My daddy was awesome. My daddy was, he knew, he gave me powers beyond I could imagine. He gave me powers that people had fear in me. The police had fear in me. The securities in my neighborhood had fear in me. People that knew that I was the devil's son, they would call me the devil's son. I brought Christians to their knees, not to prayer, because they had no power. It wasn't because your God wasn't all powerful. Don't get me wrong. Because your God was all powerful. The vessel was weak. The vessel had no prayer life. The prayer had no fasting life, and they had no relationship with God. There was a form of godliness in the person, but no power. The person was weak. The person had nothing going. He had a Bible. He had the right suit on. She had the right dress on. But there was no connection with Jesus Christ, because he was out of his will. He was out of his promises, and he was out of his divine purpose. And I had you. I own you. I had you as a slave. I broke you. I put witchcraft on you. I kept doing that to Christian after Christian after Christian after families, after churches. I chased everything down that represented the cross of Jesus Christ. Very demonic place.
So that place has an effect on the whole neighborhood,
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, that just had this whole region on lockdown. That's the devil's throne. We just went into the devil's throne. That throne been there since the 80s. And then they go there, spend $100, $200 buying all these things, and then they broke. They're on welfare, public assistance, but they got money to buy all this junk. But they think their life is going to get better. They think that their life is going to improve. They think that they're going to make progress in life. They think that they're going to break generational curses. They think they're going to break, vex spells, voodoo. They think they're going to break all that. And basically, God said, I come. I do it for you for free. Just give your life to me, and I'll set you free. But they don't want that. That's too difficult for them. That's too complicated for them. But they can walk into a place like this and drop $200 to think that their life is going to be free, and they're going to live a life in abundance. I had contact with the principality that runs Haiti. His name is Candelo. I had contact with him. I had contact with demons in Miami. I had contact with demons in Africa. I had contract with demon here in New York City, principality that run the crossroads of the world here on 42nd Street, okay? There's a different principality that run the crossroads of the world here on 42nd Street than the ones that try to run here in this neighborhood. I didn't have a conscience. I remember I did witchcraft to my brother and I put him in jail for 5 years. The witchcraft that I did to my own brother, my own flesh and blood. I did witchcraft to him. I put him in jail for 5 years. I did my other brother that was a warlock. He came into my house one time with an attitude and the demon jumped on him. And he ran out the house. He couldn't hold the pain in his stomach. My mother can bear witness to that. I did so much ceremonies in my body. I did so much ceremonies in my body. The last ceremony I did was not only sell my soul to the devil. I did a ceremony that I had to swallow animal blood and gunpowder. It was called Sansi. Sansi is a ceremony of Haitian and French that you do the ceremony with a demon. That so when I go to people's houses and eat, they can't put witchcraft on the food. I did that kind. I did all the ceremonies you can do. I knew I would go to demon church, and every year we would have a meeting, a secret meeting. All the high witches and warlocks would have this meeting to find out what principality we were going to usher out and bring in to run the region. We were more organized than the church itself. The kingdom of darkness was more organized than the Church of Jesus Christ. We knew how to do ceremonies. We knew how to do things before the year was over to prepare ourselves for the next year. When Christians couldn't go to church and pray for 1 hour. When Christians couldn't go to church and have a consistent relationship with God. I even took a sabbatical from witchcraft. And the devil punishment took my eyesight for 1 year. I was completely blind for 1 year. Registered with the Commission of the Blind. I was completely blind. They was training me to use an eye-seeing dog. And they was training me to use one of these sticks that you use that you walk the streets with. My mother took care of me for 1 year. My eyes went black. And a mist of gray went over my eyes. I was completely blind. And when I gave my life back to the devil, after 7 surgeries, the devil gave me back my eyesight. And I could see again. And that was my punishment for taking 1 year off. I wanted to take off. The devil said, you want 1 year off? I'll give it to you. He took my eyesight. And that's the world I lived in. If you mess with the devil, he'll kill you. He'll kill your family. It was a fear that will grip you beyond measure that you could not leave this religion. You cannot leave Santeria, you cannot leave Palomayumbe, and you cannot leave spiritualism. The doctors cannot explain how I lost my eyesight. Meanwhile, Christians, and I was like, what Christians do bad, and Christians sometimes miss the mark, and the only thing that shows up in their house is grace and mercy. When you show up with the devil, and you do something the devil don't like, he kills someone, he kills your family member. And when I remember the devil warned this lady, she said, you can't be with that person no more, and she didn't care because she was in love with the person. The devil demon possessed a homeless guy in the street. He took a hammer, hit her 17 times over her head, killed her. One day I was sitting home, and it was amazing. I came from a nightclub the night before. I was sitting home watching a show called Jerry Springer. I know, the crazy show. People beat each other up. I get joy out of that. I was getting joy out of that, laughing. For the first time, I heard a voice say to me, son, I am coming soon. What are you going to do with your life? An audible voice shot from across the room. And I thought it was the TV that was talking to me. And I said, no, can't be the TV because these people are beating each other up. This voice, I knew the voice of the devil. I would sit with the devil like I'm sitting with you today. And he would come into human form. He will come in the room. He'll come in sometime. The presence of him will come into the room. The atmosphere changes. And I know he would sit with me and he would talk into my conscience and we would talk back and talk all night long. I knew that too. I knew it like you knew the back of your hand. I knew every demon, every principality that ran the region, ran everything in America, everything in Canada, everything that ran. I knew every principality that ran, every occult, Wicca, New Age, Buddhism, Islam, Santeria, spiritualism. I knew every principality that ran. I had a contract with every principality. With them, I had straight A marks for every principality, every demon on the ground, the devil, Jezebel. I had new demons that I can't even tell your name because you won't know who they are. I knew them all by name. And this voice was very different than any other voice. When I heard that voice come out of nowhere, it came out of the air, the voice. And I went into shock. And then I saw a vision from the other side of the apartment. That the sky was on fire and people underneath. I saw people running for cover, but there was no cover where to hide. And I said, why would I see that vision? So I shook it off. But I remember I went to sleep, like a deep sleep. I soon put on anesthesia and I went to sleep. I ended up in a train full of people. I couldn't believe that I was in a train full of people. And his chin was going faster than you can ever imagine. I'd never been on something this fast on earth. And it went into hell. And Jesus Christ took me to hell. And when I got to hell, the doors opened. I mean, there was a slam in the doors. There was an unspeakable echo. The doors opened. And there was heat that came out of nowhere. That I felt like you were going to suffocate, the heat that came out. And I ran in, I got out the train. And the people in the train, they had no faces. But you could see the fear on the people on the train. You could feel the fear, the impact of the fear, that they were going to a place that they were never going to return. And the place was packed. And then I tried, I said, I can't die here. I said, I can't die. This is not for me. I wasn't born to be in this place. I was saying this to myself. I was not born to be here. So I tried to find like a tunnel in hell. And I was walking to the tunnel. I was trying to run to the tunnels in hell, try to find a door, maybe a window. Maybe there was a gap somewhere that I can come out and come back to reality. But there was no gap. And I remember the more I went into the tunnels, the more the fear gripped me. The more the suffering. I heard suffering. Darkness drapes over you. This fear drapes over, like you're wearing a garment. This fear drapes over you. It's something you can't even control. You have no control over. It's something like it grabs you. That it don't let you go. I couldn't see the hand in front of my face. But I hear the wailing. Like, you ever hear like a kid wail and an animal wail at the same time? Like, it's like that kind of wailing. It's indescribable. And it was a heat and a smell that was like if you was like in the sewers or the gutters of New York City. But crazy than that. And then I came to a part of the tunnel. The devil showed up. He said, I was your daddy. He spoke to me the amount of time. I was your daddy. I gave you everything you needed. I took care of you. I blessed you. I protected you. I killed people for you. I did everything. I gave you powers. I gave you a name in the kingdom of darkness. I gave you a name. When people came against you, I destroyed them because I knew that you were going to be the vessel that I was going to use to move my kingdom on the earth. And now you want to leave me? Now you want to betray me in demonic tongues? And I'm talking to him back in demonic tongues and telling him, no, I'm not leaving. I'm just confused. I don't know what's going on. And he said, no, I know what you're going to do. You're going to leave me and you're going to expose my religion. You're going to expose who I am and how I operate in the spirit realm. Because I taught you things that I never taught no one else. I showed you things. I trusted you with the things that I needed you to know so you can further my kingdom. Because I wanted to use you in a greater measure way. And the confused, he went to grab me. As he went to grab me to destroy me, the cross of Jesus Christ appeared in hell. I didn't understand how a 3-foot cross appeared in hell when I was wearing the blue shorts and a t-shirt. And I put it on him. And when I put it on him, the devil melted like he was an infant. Like an infant, he melted and fell on the floor, like no powers. So I took that opportunity and I ran deeper into the tunnels of hell, hoping that there was a door. I had, my hope was being, it was a hope and a hope at all. There was no place to say, I'm coming out of here. This is it. This is the end. I had a fear that gripped me. That I was indescribable. I never felt a fear like that. I never felt a despair. It was the opposite of what heaven is. It was opposite of joy. It was opposite of gladness. It was opposite of peace. It was opposite of light from darkness. It was a place of torment. A place of, if I'm here, my family don't know I'm here. My daughter don't know I'm here. How would they find me? How would they look for me? So as I went deep into the tunnel of hell, hoping that there was a door, a window, a crack somewhere that I can get out. The devil showed up again, so now we'll destroy you. So what I did was, I told him in the demonic language, I got these marks. These are my contracts to protect me, to destroy you. He said, fool, I gave you those marks. Those are my marks that I own you. I own you. No one owns you. I do. And you're going to live for me or you die. And when he went to grab me the second time around, I said, it's finished. I said, yeah, this is it. He went to grab me the second time around. The cross of Jesus Christ appeared in hell. There's no greater love than the cross that would comfort a sinner like me in hell. So when David said, if I make my bed in hell, he knows I'm there. Grace and mercy showed up in hell. Grace and mercy knew my address. Grace and mercy have a plan for my life. Through my unspeakable, demonic, selfish ways, arrogant, self-centered ways in hell, when I was done for the count, Jesus Christ loved the misfit. And he said, I have a plan for you. I loved you beyond you can ever imagine. And he showed up in hell. And when I woke up, then my spirit came back into my body. I woke up and I bent my knee to Jesus Christ. I had $100,000 witchcraft stuff in my house. I threw witchcraft away. I threw religion away. I threw everything that had to do with darkness away. The people from Haiti, the people from Cuba, the people from Miami and New York said we have to kill him because he knows too much. We have to destroy him. We have to kill him because he knows too much. He's not one of us anymore. And they came for the kill. They came, they did their best. They came for the kill. I was asleep during the day. It was that night when the demons showed up and tormented me for 30 days. They tormented me for 30 days. They would grab me by my throat, pick me off my bed. The room would go cold. I would lay in my bed. I felt another person lay next to me. I just cold under the person. I would look like this and I could feel the presence. It was the devil himself right in my bed for 30 days, on and off, tormenting, torture, trying to steal my mind, trying to rip my soul out of my body, trying to rip my spirit out of my body. I would tremble at night. Like never trembled before, 30 days, and I would cry out. I didn't know how to pray. I said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Didn't know how to pray. I said, may I pray like my sister prays? I heard her in church, she prayed this way. I heard that person pray this way. I would bring all these prayers together to try to put them together like a puzzle, to try to fight for my life. And one day I was in church worshiping, and I would ask the Lord, Lord, why are you letting people, why are you let this happen to me? And one day I heard the voice of God again. He said, I wanted to see how much you love me. And he said, I wanted to see how much you trust me. And ever again, I was tormented by the devil. And I became an evangelist for Jesus Christ. 14 years serving the Lord. And I will never trade it for nothing in the world. And I know that somewhere in Hallelujah Boulevard, there is a mansion for John Ramirez. And one day it says, welcome home. Well done, faithful servant. And I tell you, there's nothing. And I'm not talking about Christianity. I'm talking about relationship with Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is my beginning. And then no weapon formed against me will ever prosper. I die when Jesus said I go home. Not because of a witch, not because of a person, not because of heck, voodoo, vets, incantation, none of that can separate me from the love of God. $100,000 of witchcraft, selling my soul. Mark's here. Mark's here, Mark's here. But the biggest mark is here is the love that I have for the cross. And nothing like the cross of Jesus Christ. And I tell you this, and I end with this. I was cursed, I became blessed, because the one that was blessed became cursed for me. And I switched daddies. And my daddy sits in the universe. And he loved me beyond I could imagine. And that love now I can give to my daughter. And my daughter today, she's a born-again Christian, graduated from college, psychology major. And I know that God's going to use her in a greater way. Because the baton that I have, I will pass to her. The right baton this time. And I know she'll do a greater exploit than her daddy. And before I leave the earth, people will know that John Romero was here because he served a mighty God. Amen.
That's one of his books. And then what's the other book? Do what? Unmasking the Devil. So those, they're worth getting and reading. And now, is it really worth serving the devil? You have to ask yourself that. Why are you not in church? Why are you making excuses? Why are you not reading your word? Why don't you spend quality time with your Father? You just really need to ask yourself all those questions. Because I'm going to tell you guys, this is all real. You You want to put this script? We're going to read some scriptures next. Yeah, I just like the thing that he said that they actually have principalities in towns and places to stop church growth. You know, we know the witches and warlocks pray against this church all the time because God told us so. Well, somebody else told us so too that knows the witches around here. But he hasn't been able to take us out or down. We're still thriving, surviving, and we're still going forth strong. You saw what he said. He said he couldn't touch a Christian that had a relationship with God. But he can touch any Christian that doesn't have a relationship with God. He can steal everything from you. So this is what happens when you become a lukewarm Christian. You give your heart to God, then you go back into your old ways, and then Satan can do anything you want. He'll still steal everything from you. Absolutely everything. Because he has a right to. So if you want to get everything back that he stole, then you need to get back to Christ, back to your first love. And quit making excuses why you don't come into the house of God. Quit making excuses why you don't read your word. Quit making excuses why you don't have a relationship with God. Remember the other day when I was going to teach you in worship and I taught you something else. I said that worship is just playing, just a fact, just singing to the Lord. That's what that gentleman said on Sid Roth's program today. The problem with Christians is that they don't spend enough time singing to the Lord. That's worshiping Him. So if you don't know what to do when you're driving down the road in your car, start singing to the Lord. Say I'm bored, start singing to the Lord. Worship the Father. All right, let's read some of these scriptures. Jeremiah 3:22-25. Come back, this is the Message Bible. Come back, wandering children. I can heal your wanderlust. We're here, we've come back to you. You are our own true God. All that popular religion was a cheap lie, duped crowds, buying up the latest in God's. Let me read that again. All that popular religion was a cheap lie, duped crowds, buying up the latest in God's. Now, what he said they were doing, they'd go into them stores and buy up those gods. We're back to our true God, the salvation of Israel. The fraud picked us clean, swindled us out of what our ancestors bequeathed us, gypped us out of our inheritance, God-blessed flocks and God-given children. We made our bed and now lie in it, all tangled up in the dirty sheets of dishonor, all because we sinned against our God, we and our fathers and mothers. From the time we took our first steps, said our first words, we've been rebels disobeying the voice of our God. So they're saying they've lost everything because of their disobedience. If you want to, then Jeremiah 4:1 says, if you want to come back, O Israel, you must really come back to me. You must get rid of your stinking sin paraphernalia and not wander away from me anymore. Then you can say words like, as God lives, and have them mean something true and just and right. And the godless nations will get caught up in the blessing and find something in Israel to write home about. Here's another message from God to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Plow your unplowed fields, but then don't plant weeds in the soil. Yes, circumcise your lives for God's sake. Plow your unplowed hearts, O you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Prevent fire, the fire of my anger. For once it starts, it can't be put out. Your wicked ways are fuel for the fire. It's a scripture. Jeremiah 4:22. What fools my people are. They have no idea who I am. A company of half-wits, dopes and donkeys all. Experts at evil, but glutts at good. And Jeremiah 4:31 says, and what's that I hear? The cry of a woman in labor, the screams of a mother giving birth to her firstborn. It's the cry of daughter Zion, gasping for breath, reaching out for help. Help, oh help me, I'm dying, the killers are on me. Excuse me. So I read Jeremiah 5:1. It says, patrol Jerusalem streets, look around, take note, search the market squares. See if you can find one man, one woman, a single soul who does what is right and tries to live a true life. I want to forgive that person, God's decree. But if all they do is say, as sure as God lives, they're nothing but a bunch of liars. But you, God, you have an eye for truth, don't you? You hit them hard, but it didn't faze them. You disciplined them, but they refused correction. Hard-headed, harder than rock, they wouldn't change. Then I said to myself, well, these are just poor people. They don't know any better. They were never taught anything about God. They never went to prayer meetings. I'll find some people from the best families. I'll talk to them. They'll know what's going on, the way God works. They'll know the score, but they were no better. Rebels all, off doing their own thing. So he went to the people in the house of God, and they didn't know any more than the street people did. Jeremiah 5:19, and when people ask, why did our God do all this to us? You must say to them, it's tit for tat. Just as you left me and served foreign gods in your own country, so now you must serve foreigners in their own country. In John 8:31, then Jesus turned to the Jews who had claimed to believe in him. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you. John 14:15, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend. That's the Holy Spirit. So that you will always have someone with you. This friend is a spirit of truth. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already because he has been staying with you and will even be in you. See, Jesus loved us so much, he never left us comfortless. There was always somebody with us, always. And remember when I was first born again in 77, I was at a prayer meeting, and remember what God told me? He said, go over there and tell that man that Satan paints a pretty picture, but he never shows you what's behind the picture. And isn't that what Satan does with sin? He entices you. It makes it look really good. But he never shows you what's going to happen when you get into that sin, does he? Jesus doesn't hide anything. He tells you the truth. It's a truth that makes you free. Just like this young gentleman said, the spirit realms are very real. You know, we walk around in this natural realm. Didn't God tell us to come up into the third heaven with him? He wanted us to quit walking in the natural realm and walk in the spirit realm, walk in the supernatural realm where we could see both light and dark. He wanted us to be able to see what the enemy was doing, but we didn't. A lot of people, I'm not going to say we, a lot of people did not choose to go to the third heaven that night. And you miss God. Now, I don't know if you ask him if he'll let you go to the third heaven again, where you'll be able to get up there in the spirit realm, walk in the supernatural and see what the devil's really doing. Come on. Just like he said the devil comes in the form of a person. Remember I told you the three times he visited me, he was in the form of a person, a very handsome man, long blonde hair, blue eyes. Stood there and had a conversation with me. I know what the man's talking about. And, you know, they say, well, the devil can't speak in tongues. But didn't he just say that, you know? He just said he talks in tongues to the devil. So when you're doing deliverance on somebody and they're talking in tongues, it's, oh, well, they can't be possessed. Look, they're talking in tongues. But it's not God's tongues. It's the devil's tongue. I hope you really listened to what this young man said. I listened to this video, tell you the truth, many times. I was sick of listening to it because I wanted to make sure I got everything down that he was saying. I thought, I can't listen to this thing again. I turned it off last night. But this is a good message. Brother Allen said he brought it out in the deliverance session, one of the deliverance sessions he did, but I wasn't at it. But I know now is the time that God put this tool in my hand for this church. God's getting ready to do something great with this church. And he said to me, I'm still shaking it, and you'll be surprised who won't be here when I drop the glory. So it's up to you whether or not you're here when the glory is dropped. Because he's given us, me too, every opportunity to get our lives together and get it right. We will not be able to say to God, well, you didn't warn me, you didn't show me, you didn't give me enough time. You won't be able to do that. I thought it was something, too, how he said it because he wanted to go on that sabbatical. The devil blinded him for a whole year. And he went through surgeries and everything else. you know, I was wondering, okay, so he did that. Why didn't he know what was going on with his eyes? Because he was a very well-informed, you know, individual with the devil. But so that just showed me that the devil will even hide things even from his own, too. He makes you believe you know everything, but there isn't. Do what? But he makes you believe you know, he's telling you everything, but he really doesn't. He hides certain things from his people. Now with Jesus, he tells us all things. He doesn't hide anything from his people, does he? He just tells us all things. He doesn't leave us in the dark. The only way you're in the dark is if you don't pray. If you pray, God will always reveal to you what's going on. How many of you can sit in your home or be in a car and always know when somebody's going to call you on the phone? And that phone rings and there that person is. Because the Holy Spirit says, the phone's going to ring and that's Chris or that's Alan or that's Brett. So I can choose if I'm going to pick the phone up or not. No. No. But that's the kind of relationship you should have with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. You should feel in your spirit when somebody's going to come to your door, you know. These are all things you should be able to feel everything if you're walking in the spirit with the Father. Now, if you're not feeling all that, then what you need to do is get closer to the Father. Start singing to him. Just start singing to him, any old thing. Little Isaiah loves it when I start that because he never knows what's going to come out. He just lays and listens. You know, and that's what the Father, you know, when I was first born again in 77, when I had little Jimmy, he was in a bad home and I brought him back into my home again and he cried. He was afraid to go to sleep at night for what his father did to him at night. And so I had to sing to him just about all night long. And I would lay there singing in the spirit. And that's how come the anointing was so strong on me. Because every night I laid there and I just prayed with him. All right. I don't run off yet because I have another film to show you. But see, this is a problem, saints of God. We don't take the opportunity that God gives us when we're quiet to sing to him. We sit and we think about 1,000 things, but we don't ever sing to the Father. We even sit and we pray. Well, God, what do you want to show me now? Well, God, why aren't you doing this? Well, God, why don't you just sing to him? Every time I sit and sing to the Father in tongues, he always gives me a word every time. So try that. You want a word from the Father? Just try sitting. I don't care, sitting, standing, bathing. I don't care what you're doing. In the shower is a good place to do it. And just start singing in tongues and just see what he does for you. God has given us an awful lot of tools to be the victorious ones. And what God told me was that the church does not use the tools that he has given them, and that's why they're not victorious. Now, you know, all things work together. God works all things out perfect. I don't know if I got the book. I think I sent away to Sid Roth and got the book. I think that's how it happened. And then I was talking to Brother Al about it, and so he gave me the little whatever I got to that video. And then Sister Tamika sent me an email with a song. And first of all, she sent me a Christmas card. Then she sent me an email with this song. And God said, now this is how you're going to do Sunday night service. So we're going to use this song that God sent. And I want you to sit here and I want you to watch it and listen to it. And I want you to enter in. And I want, if you really want to, I want you to give your heart totally and completely to the Father tonight. Drop everything, every agenda that you might have in your mind about what you want to do in your walk with God. Give yourself totally and completely over to the Father. Father God, I just, whatever agenda I had, I'm throwing it out the window. All I want is to be yours. And when you do that, you watch and see what God is going to do with your life. I don't know who's going to play this. This is going to start, so please watch and listen very carefully. Listen to the whole thing.
This is a picture of a scene that is going to take place someday in heaven at the throne of God. You see, you can't change your past.
But you can determine your destiny by deciding for Christ. And when you do that, Christ changes your past. He wipes out all the sins of the past.
If you gotta start somewhere, why not here? If you gotta start sometime, why not now? If we gotta start somewhere, I say here. If we gotta start sometime, I say now.
Choose you this day, not tomorrow, this day, whom you're going to serve. And many of you are going to have to decide tonight what is the number one priority in your life. All the way through the Bible, choices, choices, choices.
Tonight's the night for the sinners and the saints to wear.
Tonight, he's willing to come into your heart and change the direction of your life and give you a peace and a joy that you've never known before. And the people ask me why I continue to preach. And I answer, because the word of the Lord has come unto me. And he tells me to go and proclaim his gospel as long as I have breath.
Love will fall to the earth like a crashing wave. Tonight's the night for the sinners and the saints to world's delight in a beautiful display. It's all love tonight. When we step across the line, we can sail across the sea to a city with one king.
A message of repentance, yet the people of Nineveh believed his message. And the Bible says that the greatest revival, the greatest evangelistic campaign in the history of the world took place in Nineveh. It was a city probably of 600,000 people, and the whole city from the king on down repented.
Oh, tonight could last forever.
God had mercy upon not only the king, but all the people, and all the people were saved. That could happen here.
Tonight's the night for the sinners and the saints to welcome light in a glorious display. Cause it's so love tonight. When we step across the line, we can sail across the sea to a city.
There's somebody here worthy. He is the lion. The root of David hath prevailed to receive a new heart from him. I ask you to come tonight. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat all over this great auditorium. Come and stand quietly and reverently here in front as an indication that you're receiving Christ, that you want a new heart and a new life from this moment on, that you're going to change the direction of your life. The Holy Spirit has been speaking. He's been preparing your heart. Now you come and receive Christ.
There won't be a better invitation than what we just received right there.